The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second hour is live. We went to Alabama in the first hour, talked to Heather Dinich, who had spoken to Saban today at the UA complex. She'd also been at Auburn. We'll talk about Clemson in a few minutes and among other things. So let's get back to our calls here and check in with Will, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Before my question, it's been a couple days since I last called, but I just want to comment on the 6 o'clock hour last week on your show. It's just been, it's been can't miss TV.
Thank you very much.
But, last week, I think it was Friday, you got Steve Spurrier in right before the weekend. And, I really respect Steve Spurrier being a Tennessee fan, but, it must be really bad in Gainesville.
Yeah, I don't think we really talked about that, but Spurrier's always a rah-rah guy for his school. But
yeah.
He, if you interpret what he said, not literally, but interpretively, it was not a compliment about the Gators.
It was very doom and gloom. He danced around it a lot and tried to sugarcoat it, but it must be really bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think it was Stuart Mandel in The Athletic, who's very respected. He did one of those hot seat articles that are on surface somewhat worthless, but when you're at a national publication. And he put Napier, he said, I know I shouldn't put him on this list because he's only been there 2 years, but the fact that you're even thinking about that, and frankly, I don't think that is a legitimate conversation, but let me correct myself, he's only been there 1 year. But when you have such a bad season and then a bad off season, it really makes things difficult. And that's why I think what you heard from Spurrier was very telling the other day.
I think he might be able to get up off the mat. But I was one of these people that 2 years ago was a year ago thinking that LSU should have hired Napier instead of Kelly. But I think if they'll allow him to get off the mat in Gainesville or maybe give him a year or two, and just hang in there, he'll work out. But, there's not much.
Here's the problem with saying that. You can say that at Auburn, though, because Auburn has had – Auburn had just a stone-cold bad choice in Brian Harsin. So they're willing to give Hugh Freeze time. He's done it before, and that's what he's going to sell. Napier has not done it at this level, and he has not. Nor has he really shown the ability to grasp what is going on. And Gator fans are not easily calmed down. This is a premier program. Not that Auburn isn't, but Florida fans don't look at waiting a couple of years when their number one rival is trying to do something that nobody has ever done, and that's three-peat national champion. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Galen is in Texas. Hello, Galen.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I want to tell you how much I enjoyed your interview with Gene Stallings the other day. He's
Thank
a great
you.
Guy.
He is.
I'm an 80-year-old lifelong Aggie, and I followed Gene's career when he was playing at A&M, and what a great guy. You don't believe it, just read his book about raising his son sometimes.
Yeah, that's Another Season is the name of that book. I would agree with you. You cover a lot of people in your time, but he's one of the classiest people I have ever been around, and that's really, we forget sometimes what a great football coach he was because of all the humanitarian things that he has done.
He was. Next time you talk to him, ask him about his first season at A&M with a play called the Texas Special.
Okay.
I don't know if he remembers it. I'm sure he remembers it. But
sure.
It'd be great if he could get a tape of it and show you sometime. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a greater trick play than he played on Texas that year. In Texas, of course, Del Rawl was going strong, and they had a big machine. And anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about the trick play. Anyway,
okay.
A&M gets on the own 15-yard line, and they throw this halfback pass out there, and he skips along the ground, and the halfback picks it up, you know, and he kicks the ground, you know, he couldn't catch it, and he slaps his helmet and everything. Well, the end just keeps running down the field. Texas defense relaxes and everything. They started going back their huddle. All of a sudden, the halfback picks up the ball and throws it 85 yards for a touchdown.
Oh, my.
And it was really a – but I think Gene must have sent the team to an acting school or something because they really sold it.
That's
they
great.
Slapped
I will
their
definitely
helmet,
ask him
kicked
that.
In the ground. He were, I think he'd probably find you a tape of that, but it was a great play. And, of course, Texas won the game, but A&M got the last laugh that day. So it was quite a deal. And I graduated in 65, and that fall I was at, started dental school at University of Texas, and one of my instructors was a big Longhorn. He liked to razz all the Aggies. There were six of us in our class, and all he ever called me was Ag, and he came back the Monday after that game, and he said, he was laughing. He said, "We won, but you damn Aggies damn near gave me a heart attack."
That is fantastic.
And all he ever called me was Ag. I saw him at dental meetings from then on for years, and I knew before I turned around, he hollered, "Hey, Ag." That was it. But it was a lot of fun, you know, and I'm so glad that A&M and Texas are going to start playing again. My Lord, I don't know when they ever quit, but anyway.
I don't need to tell you, Gail, and you're from down there. So, but, hey, really glad to hear from you. Thanks for sharing that story with us. We will continue here with more phone calls right now. How about J.K. in Alabama?
What's up, fine, Bob?
J.K.
Hey, man, did the Uber driver pick up those last couple of calls in the last hour and, from Happy Hour and drop them off at the show?
I don't, as bad as Uber is, I don't think Uber would have picked those guys up.
Hey, Paul, I got you somebody that's going to be a good phone feuder with Legend.
Who's that?
That dude from Louisiana, Dwayne.
I tell you what, is it too late to get Dwayne in the caller bracket?
That's what I was about to say, Paul. That's a good play in. I want Dwayne on the bracket.
Yeah, that to me was crazy. Yeah, I think Dwayne would be a match for some of the louder mouths on this show.
Hey, you know what, man? I heard a joke this morning on one of these sports shows. They said all of a sudden the way to determine the NCAA basketball champion is not right. For some strange reason, I don't understand how they came up with that, but they might as well deal with it for this year. Paul, I want you to encourage everybody to root for my Miami Hurricanes. I know it hurt you to hurt for you to hear that, but the Canes gonna win it all.
I hope they do.
And you heard it from me first, baby. Let's go, Canes.
J.K., count me in. Thanks for the call, J.K. Talking basketball. Whoever thought the most loudmouth Miami Hurricane fan in the world would be a basketball fan. Let's check in with Jimmy in Kentucky. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, Jimmy. Thank you.
Good, man. First time calling. I love your show.
Thank you.
Listening to some of these videos as they put the phone up to their face and scream into the phone. I think that is so funny. I get a kick out of it. The reason I'm calling, Paul, I heard some comments on a few past calls that some of these guys say Alabama is the new Kentucky.
Right, yeah, in basketball,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, Alabama will never be what Kentucky is in basketball. Like, we will never be like Alabama is in football. So, you know, I'm glad Alabama got beat on the calls of what they said. So, you know, go Big Blue. We'll see you next year, Alabama, because you got stuff coming. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. A lot of love being passed along between schools. Peyton is up next.
P-Town, how you been, boss?
We're okay. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I figured I'd just give you a call. I hadn't talked to you in a while. Give you some life updates, see how your life's doing.
We are doing great.
Me
what
and
about
my
you?
Wife and my son. Man, we got a hectic schedule up here in Nashville. I'm actually moving to 38 in 3 weeks, and I know that you do I think you're down in, is it Destin?
Yeah,
Florida for about a week out of the year.
We are normally down there on Memorial Day week, usually the Tuesday and Wednesday after Memorial Day.
Well, then I tell you what, how would you mind if I came over and hung out with you that whole day, you know?
We would be delighted. You just let us know, and we'll tell you where to go, and you will be a you'll have fun. We usually have a couple of pretty good guests hanging out with us.
Oh, I'd love to join. Yeah, we're moving next to Rosemary Beach and Carillon Beach. You know where that is?
Yeah, you're not. We're at the end of the island in Sandestin, so you won't be far from us at all.
Oh, I'll definitely make the drive. Hey, I just got one complaint, and that's about the NCAA tournament. I wanted to make the drive from Nashville down to Birmingham to see my Auburn Tigers play, but all the gumps bought up all the tickets, and I couldn't afford to take my family, Paul. So my solution is to have where you don't have a session ticket. I don't want to go see Alabama play basketball. I want to go see Auburn. Why is it so difficult logistically for them to split up the games where it's two individual tickets?
Well, the problem is you sell those tickets before you sell them in advance, so you don't know who the schools are going to be, and it makes it more difficult to sell more. It's just easier to sell a block of tickets. Anyway, up against the break, Andrea Adelson will join us from ESPN. We'll get her take on some things in the ACC that you may be interested in, including Clemson. Are they back or are they gone?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. And the headline reads, Clemson has never been better. And we continue on the program here in March of 2017. Oh, it's 2023, and Clemson is still looking back, or is this in my imagination? Andrea Adelson joins us. Andrea, listen, all you can do is talk to people and report on what they say. So I say hello to you. Thank you for being here, and tell us what the artist known as Dabo Sweeney had to say.
Gee, I'm so surprised that there was a reference to what year are we in based on those comments. Because when he said that to me, in my head, I also did a little bit of a, wait, did he just say never been better? And so the immediate follow-up is, well, like, what do you mean never been better? You're coming off of 2 years where you haven't made a playoff. And he essentially said, well, okay, we weren't good enough to make the playoff the last couple of years. Is that a crime? We just weren't good enough. And I'm like, okay. And then he goes on to say, you know, they're better because they have great talent on the team. He's better as a head coach. They have all this administrative support. They're connected as an institution. He feels good about the direction of the program. And in one of his very famous catchphrases that he always uses, right? The best is yet to come. And in Dabo's mind, he firmly believes that. He thinks he has a team headed into this season that is going to be competing for a playoff spot once again. He feels the change that he made at offensive coordinator, hiring Garrett Riley, is going to be a huge difference maker in addition to now having Kate Klubnik as his starting quarterback. He's got a lot of players coming back on defense that he feels really good about. some freshmen that he thinks are going to be really good players, and he feels that the program, despite not making the playoffs the last couple of years, is in a really good spot moving forward.
Andrew, good for him. I'm really glad he believes that. Nobody else does, by the way. But in terms of where Clemson is in the relevance of college football, help us better understand that. Forget what he said. The facts are speaking pretty loudly, and a lot of people I know, and you know more than I do, connected to Clemson, are really worried about how Clemson fits into the present and the future, especially with NIL.
Well, here's the thing, Paul. They haven't made the playoffs, but they won the ACC last year, and if they don't blow a fourth quarter lead against South Carolina, they're probably in the playoffs again. And so those are the things that Dabo and the people inside the program will tell you, that even though they didn't look great on offense, they still were a fumbled punt away from potentially making it back into the playoffs last year, given the chaos that happened after that loss at the end of the season. And the other thing is, when you're Clemson and you have been to a playoff six straight years, and suddenly you don't make the playoff after 2 years, people think the world is falling apart, even though they've won 21 games over the last 2 years. So the question, I think, is, well, what should be the standard at a place like Clemson? Is the standard what it is at Alabama now, that it's championship or bust, or playoff or bust? And if you don't make it into the playoff, or you don't make it into a championship, is that considered a bad season? Now, this has been a program before Dabo got there that really, you know, was in fits and starts in terms of trying to find consistency in success. They had a national championship in 1981, but really not as relevant nationally until Dabo came aboard and changed the program and changed what they were doing. And so, yes, I understand why outside of Clemson there's a concern about, well, what's going to happen moving forward with this program if they haven't made the playoff over the last couple of seasons. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is probably still the most talented team in the ACC. I kind of agree with Dabo. I think they're going to be in the hunt for a playoff. I don't know if they're going to get to a playoff, but I do think they're going to be in the playoff mix this season if things go right for them at a couple of key positions that remain question marks. In terms of NIL, I mean, this is a team that hasn't really lost a whole lot of players to the portal, hasn't really used the portal, but that's an entirely different conversation, and had a bunch of seniors come back for another year when they could have gone to the NFL draft. We're talking about Xavier Thomas, Tyler Davis, two really key players on that defensive line. This has been something that has happened before at Clemson, where they've get veteran players you think might be going to the NFL, but then end up coming back. So I don't necessarily know that NIL right now, at least for Clemson, is something that has been holding them back. The biggest thing that's been holding them back, I think, is Dabo's inability to think outside the box last year and bring in a different offensive coordinator and make a change earlier at the quarterback position.
You said something interesting, and I understand they play in the ACC, so that's all you can measure oneself by. Before we get to another topic involving women's basketball, I want to ask you about something that you picked up from Jim Phillips. It's been about a week now, the ACC commissioner. Just in terms of the ACC, I think you were talking to him in terms of basketball, and I didn't. I mean, I started my mind started wandering when I read his comments about what exactly is he talking about, because the ACC has issues in football, and now he seems to think there are some things that need to be clarified in basketball.
Yeah, his message was basically, we need to be more proactive and aggressive in promoting men's basketball, because the ACC over the last 2 years has only gotten five teams into the tournament each of those years, and yet still ends up with teams in the Final Four the way that it did last year with North Carolina and Duke, and obviously the way that it has with Miami this year. And so they feel that there's been a problem with messaging, that because the ACC beats each other up inside conference play, and maybe because non-conference wins aren't sparkly enough for the net, that has really hurt and hamstrung the ACC. Even though come tournament time, the ACC has proven itself to be a formidable conference and has won a lot of games and has obviously made it to the Final Four. And I have to agree with you a little bit here, Paul, because when he used the words aggressive and changing the narrative, I feel that probably applies to football a little bit. The messaging and the narrative has been lost in the ACC when it comes to football, when you don't make it to the playoff for two straight years. And even before Clemson lost to South Carolina, nobody was really talking about a one-loss Clemson team potentially making it into the playoff the way they were with some other one-loss teams. And I think that's because the narrative and messaging just wasn't there. And Clemson may not have looked good or the eye test or whatever the case may be, but this is still a team that has proven itself in the playoffs just the same way that men's basketball teams have proven themselves in that sports playoff. So I think they feel that this is kind of an emergency situation on the basketball side because they've never really had to promote themselves on men's basketball, right? It's a given the ACC is good at men's basketball. And so when you don't get the bids, you feel you deserve. And again, this is all from the perspective of the ACC. You think something has to be done, that they have to change something. And so I think they're going to be a little bit more aggressive in their messaging well before tournament time and bubble time and all of that. I think it's going to start right as the season begins.
Andrea, you can message all you want correctly. However, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but it seems like the real problem for the ACC is perception, that they're no longer considered a conference on the same level as the SEC or the Big Ten. That's been shown repeatedly in comparisons. And that should not necessarily affect the rest of it, but they just you help me with that because they just don't seem as relevant. And it seems like Phillips is making the point for us.
Yeah, well, you know, the perception has been there for football for how long? Since forever, right? And even when Clemson was winning national championships, the perception was that they didn't play a good enough schedule. And I've heard you and many others say that before, that the overall strength of schedule for Clemson isn't there, and therefore, why are we taking them seriously as a playoff contender, even though they've won national championships? That has followed Clemson over the last, 8 years? And it'll probably follow Clemson this year, maybe even Florida State, if Florida State is in that mix this year. So, yes, that has been a problem for the ACC. And the thing about basketball, though, is this is a new problem for basketball, right? The perception of the ACC football is that they've always been behind, even when they're winning. But in men's basketball, that has not been the perception, right? The perception always is that it's ACC basketball and everybody else. And that hasn't been the case over the last 2 years. And so that's why I think they feel like we have to do something. There's something wrong here that people aren't perceiving our conference as good the way that they once did. Now, again, we can look at the win-loss results and see, well, yeah, there's a reason for that. It's because you don't really have any elite teams anymore, right? And even some of the teams that were ranked in the top 10 would end up losing to a Boston College, you know, which is at the bottom, and that just doesn't help your perception anymore. I think what they want to do is show that come tournament time in March, in April, when it matters most, when games are on the line, that the ACC comes through, no matter how many tournament bids they get compared to some other conferences that they were upset about, got more than them. And so I think they're hoping if they talk about it more publicly and don't just hide behind the fact we're the ACC, we're supposed to be good at basketball, that will help change some of the narratives and perceptions and getting people to talk about or view the ACC in a different way. Is that going to help? I don't know if that's going to help. We're going to have to find out come next November and December when men's basketball starts up again. But I do think they feel they have to be at least more upfront and public in discussing the good things that are happening inside the conference. I think they should do it in football, but they're definitely going to be doing it in men's basketball.
And Andrea, finally, it doesn't help that in the last two seasons, the conference has lost three of the most successful coaches in college basketball history, and Williams,
right.
Coach K, and Boeheim. Many thanks, Andrea. What a great conversation we had. We will continue that shortly in the next few weeks as the ACC tries to get out of its own shadow. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here and more calls right now on our show. And how about Joe up next? Hello, Joe. Joe, you there?
Joe. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, Joe. Okay. How are you doing today, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
Okay. This will not be long. I listen to you every day that I have an opportunity, but today I wanted to reach out and ironically call, and the guy answered the phone. So I wanted to say that you have really done a magnificent job with your show since Bob Lockamy.
Thank you. Thank you. Bob was on the very first show we did many, many years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how long I've been listening at you in Birmingham. And I'm at Ashland Irondale, which is right out of Birmingham.
Of course.
But I admire the way you do the show. You're truly a professional. As I was telling the young man that answered the phone, I guess after your show, I just wanted to ask you a question, and that is, what is the first thing that you do when you get home after your show? And while you're thinking
I'm really trying to decide which proof of alcohol that I hit the first. You know, one thing I do, Joe, is I will come in and my wife will say, well, you know, how was the show? And I said, fine. Like that probably is the last thing that I want to talk about. And you know, if she had seen it or heard it, that I try to just keep my mouth shut, because you can't explain. I will say to you, Joe, as somebody that's been around a long time, I don't believe it even while I'm here, let alone when I start to think about it on the way home. And last night was one of those nights I'm thinking, like, what did we just do here?
Right. And I said that because you are a master at that, because you let the callers do what they do, and you come right in there, and then you just move to the next call.
I have to ask you, though, because we get certain criticism of people who will say, well, the show was this or that. You've heard it now for all these many years. Do you think it's – I realize it's on television, so it's a lot different in some respects, and it's broader. But basically, do you think it's dramatically different over the years?
I do not. I actually think that you just bring in new callers, like J.K., I think, from Birmingham called right. A while back. So you got the basic call there, like Legend and all the guys from Tuscaloosa. So really, that's the base of your Birmingham show. And I think, I'm not really sure, but I think you use that to bring other callers in and then bring those callers back in.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, ultimately, radio is a much different medium. I mean, you can just do whatever you want. You're not concerned about any other aspect. And I loved it. The very first day of this show on TV, they said, just do what you've always done. Don't worry about the cameras. Don't worry about. So, I mean, I'm looking over to the side. I'm looking up in the ceiling. And then the producers come running. Oh, no, hey, you got to talk right to the camera. I thought you just got through telling me to do what we've always done. So ultimately, you are cognizant. The television affects it in a way where on radio, I mean, I'm looking down. I'm staring into space. I'm free associating, and I'm not really concerned about anything else. On television, you can't escape the picture because it's everywhere. I mean, we have 20 TVs in here, so you look around and there you are. But you have to be able to remember, though, that in essence, it's a radio show on television.
And that's where you're the master at, because you never lose sight of that. And you just kind of bring the callers in, and then you look to the floor and let them deal, and you go back to the radio show. So, yeah, and I listen at you not every day, but 99% of the time.
Well, thank you.
And so I just see knowing you from back in the day when you were at WERC, you know.
Yeah, we, for 13 years, we followed Rush Limbaugh every day. You can imagine how stoked the audience was about certain issues.
And when you let Mailman call and blast, and that's what he do and things like that, he does that on the local show too. But
I really miss some of those days because, I mean, whatever the topic of the day was in the state or the country, that's what we talked about. And you just can't do that here. I mean, because it's dangerous to.
I understand that. And I just wanted to mention that to you because, like I said, I'm
really glad you did. This was fun to remember.
Yeah, you're a couple of years behind me, but I'm age 70, so you're a couple of years, 3 years behind, I think. So
I'm catching up.
And most importantly, when I dialed the number the first time, the guy answered the phone. I had to wait 46 minutes and 15 seconds, but he answered. Thank you,
well,
Paul.
I hope we didn't make it, Joe. You'd be well. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Waxing poetic about the way it used to be. Who's ever done? I used to get mad when my relative, my uncle and grandparents and parents would do that. Now we're doing it. Weren't those? Remember the good old days, Randy? Before all this interference. Let's check in with Kevin in Pittsburgh. Hello, Kevin. Kevin, you there?
Hey, Paul. Kevin from Pittsburgh.
You bet.
Paul.
Yes, sir. We're here.
All right, Paul. Hey, I admire your work. I, long-time SEC fan. I grew up a Vols fan. My father went to Tennessee, been to a few games down there at Neyland Stadium. Always followed SEC football. I wanted to talk about Lane Kiffin.
Okay.
You mentioned a lot about, you know, Saban and Kelly, and of course now we got Fisher in the West. But Lane Kiffin, you can't deny what he's done when he gets to these different teams, and what he does offensively. I mean, he's an offensive guru. The guy, all he does is win. Atlantic on the map as far as football goes, and now they're in the basketball Final Four. So I think that Conference USA, I'm not sure what's going on with that. I don't know if Florida Atlantic is moving out of Conference
USA. They are. Where are they going? To the American? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I'll double check. But I think this is their last year in Conference USA.
Yeah, that's what I also thought. But I guess what I wanted to say is Lane Kiffin and what he's done. Yeah, love him or hate him. The guy, I don't think you can count him out. I just want to get your perspective on what maybe Ole Miss has coming in this year. They had a good season last year, and, you know, they're only a game or two away from upsetting one of the big dogs in that West.
Well, Kevin, I think you're right. I mean, Kiffin is an elite coach, but he's at a school that needs to keep working at the portal, which he is, and recruiting. And I felt like he let last season just get away from him. And there was so much baked into that Alabama game and had a really good chance to win. I mean, people talk about Alabama and, you know, two losses on the final play, and they don't talk about the other close calls where they won a couple of games at the last minute, including Ole Miss. I mean, Alabama's defense showed up in that game and really had not showed up at the end of the Tennessee and the LSU game. And it stopped. And Lane Kiffin got in his own way, I thought. He got a little cute throughout that game. And that's a game – I mean, sometimes you say, well, maybe our team could have won. I mean, I frankly believe Ole Miss should have won that game in Oxford. They were good enough to win. And after that game, that was the second loss. They had lost the week before to LSU. See, the season – simply collapsed. They literally fell apart, and that catapulted into the loss at home against Mike Leach and Mississippi State. We're up against a break. We will continue with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPNPods. That's Amazon.com/ESPNPods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just days before the women's Final Four, Dawn Staley named the Naismith Coach of the Year, her team the prohibitive favorite to win it all again. It would be her third title. Let's get back to the calls, and Myth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hey, yesterday I got in a little late from work, didn't get on in time, but man, I tell you what, I heard a lot of the talk from Jim and Legend and some of the other ones, and most of the, Paul, I believe you need to be a psychologist, to be honest with you, because the things that they're saying on TV, on your show, I deal with in the back seat of my car. Normally, we're going on our way to the jail cell, if you know what I mean.
I do.
But yeah, talking about the girl from Iowa State, she's something else.
That's gonna be quite a matchup Friday night.
I'm not sure if she's better than Steph Curry or Steph's better than her, but Dawn Staley, yeah, she's a good coach as well. But basically, I just wanted to hear your voice because it makes my day.
Myth, thank you for saying that. Appreciate it, and I do not want to be a psychologist.
You are on this show.
Well, this is amateur hour here compared to what those folks deal with on a daily basis. Let's check out Matt in Atlanta. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how you doing today, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, so I'm just wondering, you know, these NFL, these draft prognosticators, do you think they actually watch the whole season of SEC football? Because seeing Richardson that high on draft boards, I'm just not seeing it. For every play that you put out there where he's perfect, you know, I have seen personally 5 to 10 others where he doesn't know what's going on. He's overthrow, underthrow. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I tell you what does make sense to them, and I heard it talking to Dan Mullen a couple of weeks ago. He said he's the most gifted athlete he's ever been around. And this is the guy that coached Tebow and Cam Newton and Dak Prescott and others, by the way. I think when the scouts hear that, they fall in love. But you're right. His body of work was subpar. He'll have his pro day tomorrow. I think it's a big opportunity for him. But someone will take a chance on him, and I think it's a chance. By no means do I think he is a sure thing.
Well, yeah. Now, has Legend commented on if he's going to be happy when they take him at 4? Because that's where it's going.
I haven't heard from Legend yet today, but I'm sure he will not be happy, Matt. Thanks very, very much. Tyler is up next. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well, Tyler. Thank you for checking in with us.
I'm sitting here with my son, Camden, and we're some Tennessee fans. We live in Alabama. We were just wondering what you thought about Tennessee coming up this next year in football. Is Nico going to be starting, or is Milton going to be starting?
Well, I think Milton will be the starter for game one. I think Nico could come on pretty quickly, but I think you're always better off starting somebody with experience. And Milton has gobs of it. That way, you can do it gradually. Even Jalen Hurts, who was a starter who led Alabama to a national championship game his first year, did not start the first game. He came in, I think he came in on the third series or something. And that's what you want to do. You just don't want to give additional pressure to someone, although players nowadays are not as fazed by things like that as they were in the past.
Yes, sir.
Well, we sure appreciate it, man. We enjoy your show. Thank you.
Well, you
Paul.
Guys, you guys have a great day, and I think Tennessee is going to be I think they're going to get to double digits again this year. And the question is, can they beat Georgia in Knoxville in November? That's going to be the game of the year in the SEC East. We appreciate your call. We are back with two more hours right after this.